Hi, this is Dean Kuntz. Welcome to my podcast. It's pretty well known that I don't do a lot of vacation. I work at the keyboard a lot. My wife and I, our idea of a good time is to be at home, to watch a movie, to play some cards with friends. We're not great travelers. But once we did go on an extended vacation, we took a cruise, and it was on the occasion of our 20th anniversary. We took a 9-day cruise along the coast of Mexico, what they called the Mexico Riviera, which is something of a stretch. But we had a beautiful ship. It was an Italian cruise line. The service was phenomenal. And this was the first vacation we had actually taken in 10 years. And I had become a best-selling writer over the last few years, just before this cruise. And my career was climbing, and it seemed we ought to reward ourselves for all the work we had done. So we boarded a ship in Los Angeles and set sail for the Mexican Riviera. We boarded in the afternoon, and our first day at sea was a pretty good one. At that night, we were sitting in the bar having a drink, and across the ocean in the distance, we witnessed a series of probably 15 to 20 lightning strikes, huge, beautiful lightning strikes, enormous bolts crackling down the sky right into the sea, and it was dramatic and beautiful, and we sat there watching it and charmed and feeling how what a romantic moment this was, our 20th anniversary, and now this distant display of lightning. We didn't actually stop to think what that meant, because the distant strikes of lightning on the ocean were directly ahead of us in the path that we would be pursuing. By the time we got to the dining hall, where we were seating at the second seating of the evening, which, if memory serves me, was 8:30, we sat down in the dining hall, and the waiters approached our table on a parabolic arc from the kitchen. They were very good. They would be carrying trays of food, and they would just move with the slight movement of the ship, which brought them in a sort of lazy parabolic arc right to our table. But as we were dealing with the first course, the ship began to yaw. And the more that the ship began to yaw, the more I realized what a good word yaw is to describe that motion of a ship. Because you start thinking your stomach is yawing. And the Italian crew were just marvelous. They were charming, and they didn't panic at anything. Probably they were trained not to. And they began to say to people at our table, "Is and not to worry, is and nothing, is always like this, is worse waves in your bathtub at home." But the yawing continued. By the time we got to the second course, glasses were falling over, and plates were sliding to the edge of the table and even off. And the crew was still saying, "Is all right, is nothing, is only some people drinking too much, and they get clumsy." But the ship keeps yawing, and now it's beginning to clear out of the dining room. People are leaving because they need to throw up, and they don't want to do it in the dining room. And the empty chairs are falling over, and the chandeliers are swaying. And I'm thinking of Shelley Winters in The Poseidon Adventure. In the distance, we hear a woman scream and bolt from the room. And the waiters are still saying, "Is all right. There's nothing to worry about. Is it just poltergeist?" And they're very charming, and they're having a lot of fun with us and with the whole situation. And they do seem not to be scared at all. But by the time we got to dessert, I knew they were lying, because instead of the excuses they were giving, they were saying, "He's all right, Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us. He's in nothing. Intercede for us now in our hour of need." 90% of the passengers bolted the dining room. And my wife and I learned something fabulous. We don't get seasick. We went dancing that night, even though you had to hold on to the light ring around the disco floor over your head in order to not be catapulted across into the band. But we had taken dancing lessons, and by God, we were determined to use them. The turbulence didn't bother Gerda at all that night. She fell into a deep sleep in our room, but it did bother me. And I laid awake and couldn't sleep, and the ship began to creak and pop and make the most disturbing noises as we got later into the evening night. And I laid in bed listening to this and to the sound of 1,200 passengers projectile vomiting in surrounding cabins, and I heard a new noise, and the new noise was a sloshing, and it was a great and terrible and rhythmic sort of sloshing, and I said to myself, "He's okay, isn't not to worry." But that didn't work, and I decided, okay, I got to see what this is. I got to see what the sloshing is. Now, our little sleeping room didn't really have windows, but there was an attached living room that had not portals but large view windows, because we were on the next to the highest deck on the ship. And when we had left Los Angeles, it was about, I would say, 60 feet from the deck we were on to the waterline, because the ship stands well up out of the water. And there were a number of decks below us, and they were out of the water as well. So I went into the other room, and I pulled open the drapes and revealed the windows just as a wave washed over them. And when I suddenly looked at that wave washing over our windows and receding across the deck, and I thought, my God, we're on a submarine. As the wave washed away and disappeared off the deck, I could look up at the sea slanting up from the side of the ship, and I could see white caps, and they were marching down to us, and the sea looked as if it continued far up above the top deck of the ship. And I watched that for a moment and decided, well, I had two courses here. I could run screaming to the bridge saying, do something, or I could go back to bed and pretend that I had never seen this. So I did go back to bed, and I prayed in bed. I said, God, please, don't let me die here. Don't let me die just as this long and difficult writing career is having some success. I want to live. I want to go home again. I want to see my little boy. Please, God, don't let me die before seeing my little boy. I don't know what I was thinking, because I don't even have children. I think I was trying to con God, and you've all done that. We discovered after this night at sea that we were in a hurricane, and we were in this hurricane for 5 days. It was so severe that the decks were closed for 5 days because you'd have been washed off if you had gone out onto the deck. And however, it was a wonderful cruise because we had the whole ship to ourselves. The dining rooms were empty, the casinos were empty, the shops were empty because everybody was lying abed, sick to death. And we had the greatest time. We finally were able to put into the last port on the trip. By then, we had sailed out of the hurricane, and we put into the port of Acapulco. And we were late getting in, so we didn't have a full day in Acapulco. We only had one half of a day. And we rented a van outside of Acapulco and outside the terminal to take us through Acapulco out to the Princess Hotel, which is outside of the city, because we're interested in architecture. And we were told it was a fabulous piece of architecture. And the driver whose van we had rented for half a day was driving us through the city, railing at the banks and pounding the steering wheel with his fist, because the banks had been taken over by the government shortly before this trip, and the government had devalued the currency so that all the money anyone had in a bank was overnight worth only half of what it had been previously. So we had a very angry, ranting driver, and as we got toward the Princess Hotel, he said to us, "You see where the taxis are lined up? Those taxis could take you back into the city." And my wife and I said, well, wait a minute. We've rented your van for half a day, right? You're going to be here when we come out of the hotel. He said, oh, yes, of course I'll be here. But see where the taxis are and see where they're lined up. They can get you back into the city. You're way ahead of me because, you know, when we came out of the Princess Hotel, there was no van waiting any longer, and we had to get in one of the taxis. And at that time, the Princess Hotel was at some distance out of Acapulco, and you went through some sort of scrub country to get there. And we came out of the hotel, and when we realized our van wasn't there, that we had already prayed in advance for a day, we got into a taxi, and the taxi driver was very friendly, and we told him we wanted to be taken back to the docks and which ship we were on, and he drove us out of the long approach road to the hotel, and he turned into this rather lonely road that went through the scrub back toward Acapulco, and he looked over the seat and said to us, "Does anyone know where you are?" Which struck me as a very bizarre question to be asked on a lonely road by a strange driver in a country you've never visited before. And then I happened to notice something that I should have noticed right away on the dashboard. It was decorated with angel hair, and sitting among the angel hair were 30-some tiny hand-painted skulls, the little plastic skulls that were painted decoratively. And I sat staring at these skulls and hearing in my mind that question, "Does anybody know where you are?" And then I began to lie as I had never lied in my life before. Oh, yes, the captain of the ship is an old college friend of mine, and he won't even start the ship. He won't even leave port until we're aboard. And that's what I'm afraid of, is we're running late, and I don't want my friend, the captain, to get in trouble. I had a long, involved lie. And we got to the ship, and there was nothing that went awry. And later, I realized that I had probably misunderstood the poor driver, because we were actually visiting Mexico right before the Day of the Dead, and his dashboard had clearly been decorated for the holiday, the Day of the Dead, And I bet the question, "Does anyone know where you are?" was probably just his bad English, and he thought he might have been asking us something else. But it was disconcerting enough that we never got off the ship again, but we never had an opportunity to get off the ship again. After that half day in Acapulco, we turned around and sailed north, and the hurricane that had been proceeding north had stalled. So we sailed right back into it and spent the rest of the cruise in a hurricane again, with the decks closed and everyone on the ship projectile vomiting, except us. If you would like to know more about this bizarre life and my dog and my books, please visit us at deankuntz.com. And the new book that's in stores now is Brother Odd, Third Odd Thomas Adventure.